Hi, Jane.
Hey, Anne, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I guess I should say that I'm Anne Altes. People know me, and I think people know you, too. You're Jane Hampshire.
I'm Jane Hampshire. I blog at firedoglake.com. And right today, I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, for the Republican Convention.
That's very exciting. Now, I'm just over here. I'm not that far away from you. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, where I usually am. But you went all the way to, are you usually in Los Angeles?
No, I'm actually in Washington, D.C. right now. But I came here from Denver. I came straight from the Democratic Convention. I've been away from home for almost 2 weeks now, and I'm ready to go home.
Now, I would think that it is a disadvantage to actually be there as a blogger, that it would be that it's easier to just turn on C-SPAN and watch it without all the craziness around you. What is the benefit of actually going there as a blogger? Since it's basically a TV event, why not just park yourself in front of the TV and not leave home and just blog what you see on TV?
Well,
which
there
is
value to
that.
That's
the communication. It's that they're trying to reach the TV viewer. So why aren't you getting a more accurate read on it by sitting in front of the TV?
I think there's value in doing both, and for my blog, we have had both. We've had plenty of people watching television, and I watched Sarah Palin last night on television. I was kind of tired. I didn't feel like going down there. But it was interesting to walk around the floor of the convention center yesterday and kind of pick up the vibe, walk through Radio Row, see Ralph Reed promoting his Christian novel, and see who's there and how they feel about it. It's a very, very different vibe than the Democratic convention was.
Yeah. Oh, explain that. So exactly how is the vibe different? That's a good subject.
Well, the Democratic convention, there were a couple of things different. One, they put you on these forced marches out to the Pepsi Center. I mean, security at the Pepsi Center meant having a perimeter that was about a mile. And that sounds like an exaggeration, but I kind of don't think that it was. It was really tough to get to. And all of these senior citizens, these delegates who, you know, had dressed up, I think something like 17% of all the delegates to the Democratic convention were over age 65. And there was no way to get them out there other than forcing them to walk on the pavement in the heat and the altitude. So everybody was kind of exhausted by the time they got there. And you probably saw the videos of the security that they had, the metal detectors that they had to get everything through with the huge lines. It was like,
so now the vibe didn't have anything to do, the difference in the vibe didn't have to do with the difference between Republicans and Democrats. It was just the logistics of the setup.
Well, it sort of gave the feeling of being at a rock concert, right? And you got into the hall, and it was really big, and people were really excited. I mean, they felt like they were seeing celebrities. I mean, it was packed. Like, you couldn't even get into the seats in the hallways. They gave away more tickets than they had. And so at a certain point, like, the ushers would stand in front of the doors, and they wouldn't let anybody in. So you had these huge clusters of people in the hallway at the arena watching what was going on inside on television. Like, everybody wanted to be there. It had that real be there vibe. And at the Republican convention, you could fire a cannon down some of the aisles until Sarah Palin spoke.
Is it a difference in the size of the place, or are the Republicans just not as excited about the whole thing?
The Republican convention is, and I don't know exact numbers, but it seems to be about half the size of the Pepsi Center. Now, somebody's going to go and fact check me and say, no, in fact, it's bigger. But all I can tell you is when you're there, it feels much, much smaller. And there are a lot fewer people. They weren't that excited. It didn't have the same feel.
So there's this arena size of the crowd issue, but do the people seem distinctly different, Republicans and Democrats?
Well, the interesting thing was yesterday when I was there coming off of Joe Lieberman and Fred Thompson, it was dead. There was nobody. It just didn't seem like anybody really cared. They thought, they had the sense of, where the energy is just not with us today. And I'll be curious to go over today and see what it's like, because watching it on television last night, which I'm sure you did too, it seemed like she really brought that energy to the crowd.
Were you there last night too, weren't you?
I wasn't there last night. I actually watched it on television last night.
Night two was rather dull. I mean, I think Fred Thompson seems to be sort of sleepwalking through it. And of course, Joe Lieberman always has this sort of drowsy quality.
The droopy dog quality, yeah. And also, their message wasn't very compelling. I mean, they talked about how great John McCain is, and they told the war stories, and it just it wasn't anything that people hadn't heard before. She came on last night, and she really got them going. I mean, she for one thing had tremendous presence that the others didn't have, but two, she really told us, she really said what they wanted to hear.
Well, Giuliani is also really good. I mean, I thought he was very good in 04, so he was also on last night. I mean, they just had more vivid speakers last night.
They did, and I actually thought it was a waste that they put Rudy on last night. I thought that they should have had him on the night before, because, as you say, Fred Thompson and Joe Lieberman sort of sleepwalked through, and Rudy can throw red meat out to the base.
But don't you think it was a little bit exciting on night two that Joe Lieberman said he was going to vote against his party, or is that old news as far as you're concerned?
Don't you think it's old news? I mean, of course I know, but I kind of think that everybody has seen Joe, been there, done that.
You're over Joe, I take it.
Everyone's over Joe. I mean, you know, the Democrats kicked him out of the party, and then the Republicans rejected him from the vice presidency. There was an active movement afoot within the Republican Party to keep him from getting the nomination. So, and he kind of had that vibe. Don't you feel like the prom queen who gets passed over?
I don't think he was that good when he was the VP nominee with Gore. I thought, you know, for example, in the vice presidential debate, I thought Cheney, who didn't even seem to be particularly even trying, seemed better than Joe at the debate.
So you thought wasn't even trying in the debate. No, he let Cheney off the hook. Totally. He's much harder on Barack Obama than he ever was on Dick Cheney.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just don't think Joe Lieberman would have been that good of a candidate. But, obviously, the conservatives wanted somebody that was truly conservative. And then the fact that they came up with Sarah Palin, who also had this fabulous image and hit so many data points on the conservative checklist, seemed to be just something manufactured out of a dream. I mean, I don't know where that came from. Although I was talking about her actually in an old Blogging Heads back in, I don't know, June or April or something. But it seems kind of amazing that the Republicans came up with someone who has the sort of star quality and diversity quality that Obama has.
Well, what do you think about her week from People Magazine coming up to the convention? Because I don't think they planned it that way, but I think it was very interesting groundwork for her to take the stage with.
Wait, I missed that. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the connection. Did you talk about People Magazine?
I said her week from People Magazine, with all of the personal drama that came out with her vetting. I mean, I thought it in the end it really accrued to her benefit, because by the time she took the stage, people really were kind of, I mean, I think that Nate Silver did a graph, and over the course of the week, she had more Google searches than Michael Phelps, Barack Obama, Britney Spears, and Paris Hilton combined.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, her personal drama was really riveting to people, and I think it engaged the People Magazine set, the American Idol set, who really see her as a star. And by the time she took the stage, people were kind of rooting for her, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, when my blog traffic has just gone crazy since Friday. You know, it's more than tripled. And I can look on SiteMeter to see search words ranked by visits, you know?
Yeah.
And they're all Sarah Palin's daughter, Sarah Palin's hair. You know, there are all these personal things, you know, Sarah Palin's body parts that I won't name for the sensitive Blogging Heads audience. But, you know, I mean, it gets very personal. I mean, I think some of it is, if you bring up a woman, if you tell people to look at a woman, they start to look at the woman's body and her hair and her personal life. It becomes instantly personal because it's a woman. I mean, that's sexism, isn't it? But it also, it hits people where they live. I mean, people are human beings. They're emotional. They have reactions to things. It gets them going. And at some point, they'll get around to being seriously political about some things. But, you know, people care about their celebrities. People care about image. It's part of politics. It worked for Obama.
Well, I think that, you know, Steve Schmidt and other McCain people are running around saying, how dare the liberals pick apart Sarah Palin and her family and expose her to the, you know, and start, you know, digging into these rumors. But I think that you're right, that this is the stuff that America lives for. We live in a celebrity culture. Our news is largely infotainment, and her whole personal story really feeds into that. I don't think you can keep people from looking into it. I don't think that I'm that interested in it from a policy perspective. I'm not writing about that, but I think that asking people not to be fascinated with it is asking a little bit much.
Yeah, and it is part of politics. I mean, the way the politicians look. For example, I notice a lot of Americans are overweight, but all four of the candidates are relatively fit.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have thought
about
that.
And they all have hair. You know, they there's a certain, I mean, for example, Bill Richardson, should have lost weight before running, and I think he blew his chance. He was a good candidate, but people couldn't accept him because of the way he looked. He wasn't sufficiently fit. He didn't look the part enough, and he was ruined by it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Bill Richardson had a lot of limitations as a candidate.
But if he don't look
I don't think ever entered into my evaluation of it. I think that he, you know, he could have made a lot of points by being the only candidate who wanted unilateral withdrawal from Iraq, but I was never really convinced that he meant it. He said it once, he threw it out in the middle of the debate, and then when it started to sort of get a lot of energy online, he decided that this was going to be his big mantra, but I don't know, he never sold me.
But, I mean, clearly image is a big part of it. I mean, Hillary made a lot of headway looking the way she did. She looked fabulous, right? And Obama just looked more fabulous and excited people because of all kinds of intangible things about his image. I mean, that's just part of the way it is. I mean,
well, but what do you feel about John McCain? I don't know. It's not moving me.
Wait, it's not moving you what? I'm sorry, I'm having
John McCain's image is not moving me. You think he is the striking specimen of
No, I meant Sarah Palin.
Barack Obama is.
No, but I think Sarah Palin is people are so excited about her because they like the fabulous, glamorous image, which includes not just the way she looks or the way she dresses, but also her manner and her attitude and the whole Alaskan vibe. I mean, you know, that's new. We haven't thought about Alaska very much. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that Barack Obama comes from Hawaii, but he never tries to bring the Hawaiian vibe to the table. You know,
he never gets attacked for being exotic. I don't, you know, having spent some time in both Alaska and Hawaii, I don't think Hawaii is any more exotic than Alaska. But he gets attacked for it. She gets celebrated for it.
I think it's nice to be from a specific place that brings some kind of American culture, and people get excited about that, you know, like Jimmy Carter was from Georgia or Bill Clinton was from Arkansas. People like some depth of origins, and Obama seems to have severed his origin ties, you know, so that he doesn't channel either Kansas or Hawaii. You know, he replanted himself in Chicago, although I think there is something very American about moving to the place that really represents you and then becoming of that place and losing your old ties, you know, sort of like go West, young man, or go to Chicago, young man. But I think it's people are excited in part by Palin's image because she does channel this whole Alaskan thing that has all of these exciting attributes that people haven't thought about, you know, like but also includes the guns and the hunting, and it also includes, you know, Anwar and the drilling for oil. So a lot of things are sort of wrapped up in Palin and being Alaskan that I think are a little bit substantive, but excite people.
So what do you think her chances are of appealing to Hillary Clinton's disaffected voters who don't want to vote for Barack Obama? Because that was obviously one of the things that the McCain team was hoping for in choosing her as a running mate.
Well, I mean, one of my sons was a huge Hillary supporter and, you know, caucused for her in Texas and so on. And he has switched and says he's going to vote for McCain. And he's very excited about Sarah Palin. Even though he doesn't have the social conservative values that she seems to represent. So, I mean, I don't know if he's the typical Hillary voter. I think obviously a lot of people who are for Hillary have the traditional set of women's rights issues like abortion rights, and that's totally out of line with what Sarah Palin stands for. But I don't know. I mean, maybe she will actually transform how people think about what it means to be a woman and what the women's issues are, and maybe it will transition more to kind of physical hardiness and more libertarian kinds of values with a certain amount of family stuff that is represented in what traditionally was abortion rights, which seemed very repressive and keeping women in their place. But I think that she's kind of updating and transforming the women's issues into something that includes these right to life values, but modernizes them and transforms them in a way that might be appealing to some younger women, I think.
Well, I think that what happens is that women, you know, as we noticed, she didn't mention choice rights, you know, a woman's right to choose last night when she spoke. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was quite deliberate because when women become aware that that she is very against a woman's right to choose, her approval ratings go down. So do you think
she was being deceptive on that point?
Pardon?
So you don't think she... I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go on. I was just saying, did you think she was being deceptive?
I don't know that she's being deceptive, but obviously they know it's a weak point. So I don't know if what she's doing is updating and transforming feminist values as much as it is hiding what she really thinks. Mm-hmm. In order to not come up against the fact that a lot of the people who did support Hillary Clinton are, as you say, people who support a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's a problem. And I also think that a lot of the people who said that they wouldn't vote for Obama, I think something like 28% of Hillary's voters at last count, Rasmussen poll, said that they wouldn't vote for Obama. I think that they did that in large part because they felt that she wasn't treated very well when she was running by the Democrats.
Yeah. I think there are some people, some feminists really feel like the Democrats assume they have a lock on women, and yet when it really comes down to it, they don't really serve women's interests. They just try to get women to feel like they must vote for Democrats, but when it really comes down to it, they disrespected the woman, they made a sexist attack on her, supposedly, they didn't even vet her for VP. After all that she did, after how hard she fought to just pass her over and give it to Joe Biden, what was that? I mean, that's kind of enraging to people. Whether that'll cause them to switch over and vote for McCain, I don't know. But to see the respect given to the woman governor, to see this new person on the stage, it shakes things up, doesn't it?
It does shake things up, but what happens when they find out that she was part of that attack? She said Hillary Clinton was a whiner. I don't know that that's gonna translate right. So well. You know, the first impressions are good, but I don't know if that sinks into the narrative, how compelling that's going to be to Hillary Clinton supporters.
She said Hillary Clinton was a whiner with respect to saying, don't be sexist against me. And I think a lot of strong feminists would feel the same way, would feel like, you know, people are going to be sexist, but the way to win is to just keep fighting even harder, even stronger. And in the end, and much of the time, Hillary did that. It's just that she had these sort of soft, weak moments that I think were actually a little bit scripted and were done because it actually does work on some people. But I think that the better feminist position is not to start saying, oh, you're mistreating me because I'm a woman. It's just to keep going and be even stronger, to know and to be aware that people are going to do that to you, but to just keep fighting. And I think that was all Sarah Palin was saying at that point, not that just generally
across
the board.
Yeah, but is that Ann Elhorn talking, or is that the 28% of Hillary Clinton voters who think that she was done wrong are going to say...
Well, you know, I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I voted in the primary here in Wisconsin. I voted for Barack Obama.
No, what I mean is your perspective on calling her a whiner. Are 28% of the people who say that, of her supporters who say they're not going to vote for Barack Obama, going to be sympathetic to someone who called her a whiner? I mean, clearly they feel like she was done wrong at some point and had a right to be upset. That's why they're digging their heels in and refusing to vote for him.
Are these people who are Hillary... You remember when Hillary Clinton said at the convention, it was kind of the most famous thing she said, so I'm sure you remember it. It was something like, were you just here for me, or were you here for what we believe in, right? You remember when she said that?
Yes.
She was trying to hand over her voters to Barack Obama. But I think if you take that same idea, it's that it's not just Hillary Clinton. It's something that she represents, which is the success of a woman. And so if that's the main thing that people were bonding with her over, which is that she's a strong woman, she's a successful woman, we could have a woman president, then I think that can transition over to Sarah Palin, because she really is coming across with a very strong image that isn't the traditional social conservative woman that we've come to know over the years.
Well, did you see the video, the Harriet Christian video of her, of the woman at the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting who was very angry at what happened? I actually took that video. And
oh, really? Oh,
yep,
clever.
That was me. I was out there with my little flip cam. I chased her into the hall and took it, and I think it now has like 1.5 million page views on
congratulations.
On YouTube. Well,
that was worth doing.
Yeah.
Well, we should put up a link to it so people can watch that video.
There you go.
Explain to people
yes.
who that is, because most people don't remember that name.
But I think that, she went on to go on Fox News, and she met John McCain. I mean, she sort of became a celebrity as a result of 12 and a half minutes of celebrity based on that. But I think that you're right. When she was, the depth of her passion was very much attuned not to specific issues or to positions that Hillary Clinton had. I mean, maybe, but she seemed to very much identify with the struggles that Hillary Clinton had been through. And I think that's where a lot of the passion of her support came from, were women looking at what she went through and sort of saw her standing up defiantly in spite of it all and saying, I'm going to be here and I'm going to run and I don't care who tells me that I can't. And I think that getting back to Sarah Palin's bad week from People magazine, I think that when she stood up defiantly on that stage and said, I'm going to be here no matter what kind of mud they want to sling at me, she got a lot of that sympathy transfer too.
And the mud slung at her. I mean, the sexism slung at her was so far beyond anything that was done to Hillary. It was just so extreme. The effort to push her down after she was announced to destroy her and her family and destroy her through her family was so extreme that people really reacted to that. Did you see the Rasmussen poll that just came out today?
No.
51% say reporters are trying to hurt Palin.
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton's been going through this for 16 years. The sexist mud slung at her throughout the mainstream media and beyond.
Yeah, but
Pardon?
I was going to say, I was always a little unsympathetic to her because of that, because when her husband was, you know, she defended her husband at the expense of women and she attacked women. So I see her as someone who, with a man, tried to rise to power, tried to reclaim power, you know, when her husband couldn't run again. And yet she worked on destroying women and sold out the sexual harassment issue for the sake of her own husband's power. So I don't see her as really channeling those values very well.
What do you mean by destroying women?
The women that accused her husband of doing various things, she was in the forefront in trying to ruin their credibility. And she did not care about the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace when her own husband was attacked, which, of course, I understand.
My personal sense of the situation is that there are two things going on here. One is policy and one is personal. And a lot of these things are chalked up to her being in a very personally difficult situation in that time. You know, she decided she wanted to save her marriage. And I was never sympathetic with people who said she needed to throw him over. That's their marriage. That's their personal decision. In the very much the same way as I think that Sarah Palin's decisions are her personal decisions and don't need to be dissected by people. I think she is, to agree with you, under a lot of sexist attack. And the words I never want to hear anymore are, what kind of a mother would?
Yeah. And the idea that she should stay home with her child. What makes liberals think that they can throw these attacks at a woman?
Wait a minute. What do you mean liberals? What do you mean liberals are saying this? Name one.
Liberals want to attack Sarah Palin. The conservatives don't. So obviously they want to attack her. They're using attacks that are obviously illegitimate attacks that they think somehow don't count against them because they're using it against a conservative.
Name one. Name one liberal who's making these.
That by having a special needs child, she undertook a responsibility.
Name one liberal who is launching these attacks.
Wait, you cut out there. I'm.
Name a liberal who is launching these attacks.
I don't have it on my list, but I basically
because there are
like
none.
There
are
media.
People in comment section. Liberals are not launching these attacks against her.
No,
just
know, and I know that Obama's statement was good. He said that the family was off limits, and Biden said the same thing. So I think that the highest level people aren't doing it. There's just a lot of crap out there. I mean, there's so many people speaking, and they're low level people, and anyone can speak. So there's just a lot of junk that gets lobbed around.
It is not laid at the feet of liberals. The people who are doing this are the people who gossip about Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, and they're largely apolitical. The gossip that's out there.
Was on Daily Kos.
Yeah, you're talking about 14 million people were on Daily Kos last week. It's a watering hole. Marcos Melissas is not saying this. You can find anything you want in the comments section of a site that gets 14 million hits a week.
Yeah. Well, there's also the idea that the press picked it up. And that, as I said, there's a Rasmussen poll that has 51% of the people agreeing with the statement that reporters are trying to hurt Palin. And it's certainly got a lot of play in the press, in the mainstream media. You know, they were reporting what other people were saying, so they kind of try to keep their little bit of distance from it by saying that you know, we're just telling you what the buzz is. But there was so much emphasis on the daughter's pregnancy and on the possibility of the faked pregnancy. There was some strange stuff out there.
Well, I'm personally interested in the fact that Rush Limbaugh is just beside himself oogling her. He just thinks she's great and hasn't said word one about the daughter's pregnancy. But when it was Jamie Lynn Spears who got pregnant, he was nonstop talking about how bad her parents were, how irresponsible they were, how awful this was. So there's some people who are really having to switch gears here with this, with their message on this situation. I'm kind of thrilled. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful that suddenly the people who were saying that, you know, young girls are sluts for getting pregnant and as teenagers now think that, you know, are all for reproductive rights and privacy. I think that's a wonderful game changer for America, but there is a certain amount of inconsistency.
Well, I think that there's a very interesting theme here about class, and I want to connect it to the way Obama has talked about how affirmative action could be reframed according to class rather than race. Mm-hmm. And I think that the election is kind of right now getting reframed not so much about race or gender, but about class because of the way Obama's opponents have made him seem as if they talk about him as an elitist. They emphasize his Harvard background and things about the way he speaks, you know, in this sort of professorial way. And then meanwhile, Sarah Palin is being portrayed as trailer trash and having these Jerry Springer values and so forth. Jokes like that are being made. And I think that they're just, if you look at what's going to play better in the election, it seems to me there are a lot more people in this country who are going to bond with the Sarah Palin side of that, that you're saying she's low class. You're portraying her really as a working class kind of person, and there's some kind of elitist snobbery about the way she and her family are being talked about.
Well,
and,
I mean, I think that says
I think that's going to hurt Obama.
I think that it says more about the chattering class, the opinion makers who are making these kinds of judgments, than it does about Sarah Palin or about Barack Obama. Barack Obama was the child of a single mother. He was of mixed race, and he grew up poor in Hawaii. There's just no way you can call him an elitist because he lived the American dream. And mm-hmm. and rose to, you know, become editor of the Harvard Law Review based on the fact that he was really smart. You know, calling that elitist, it really takes a stretch.
I'm not saying that he actually is.
No, I'm saying that but if that's the if that's the narrative that's going on, it says more about the people who are writing the narrative than it does about Barack Obama.
Yeah, but I think there's something about the way he presents himself, which is maybe he worked himself up from poverty so well that he seems like a high-class person. But the point is, how do voters see that? How do voters respond to that? Obviously, Republicans already have an awful lot of people who are rich and elitist because of their wealth. They're for Republicans.
Like John McCain and his wife with a $300,000 outfit.
Yeah, and then Democrats are trying to appeal to more working class people, people who have a harder time economically. But if those people look at Sarah Palin and look at Barack Obama and think about who are they going to identify with, if Sarah Palin is the one who people are trying to crush by portraying her as trailer trash, that can backfire. I'm just saying that people can feel like she's like us and those people look down on me. And those people maybe naturally ought to have an affinity with the Democratic Party, but they may flip over. You know, they're like the Reagan Democrats.
I think that you're absolutely right. There is tremendous danger in having her portrayed as low class. And I think that anybody does that, any Democrat would do that as their own peril, but I haven't heard them doing that. I think that's mm-hmm. a narrative that's coming up from, again, the People Magazine circuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I just think that Democrats need to keep the people who have a harder time economically, and then it's really a shame the way they lose them because people end up feeling like it's really the party of the elite, you know, the Hollywood celebrities and certain extremely rich people. Well, that is the way Republicans try to frame the Democrats,
that
and when they
the
win, they win over
the
this
Democrats.
Group of people. They're also the same people that voted for Hillary, these working class, more small town or rural people. And I think those people are going to be feel an affinity toward Sarah Palin, and even more so if the attacks on her continue the way they have.
Well, I think that Barack Obama is not running against Sarah Palin. He's running against John McCain. And he has the vice president. He's got Joe Biden, who is very comes from very working class roots. I think he's the of a hundred senators. He's like the two from the bottom when it comes to personal wealth. I mean, Joe's got a very great blue collar rapport with people, and I think that that's one of the reasons that they got him.
I know it's one of the reasons they picked him, but don't you? But I think that the picking of him got overwhelmed by Sarah Palin, who has this much more vivid image of being the sort of person that working people can identify with. And I just wonder if McCain had picked first and picked her, would Obama have picked Joe Biden?
Well, I think one of the reasons Sarah Palin's story became so compelling was because nobody knew who she was. And the same week that she stepped onto the stage, we found out that her daughter was pregnant and, you know, that she was unmarried. I mean, there were an awful lot of things that happened in the first week as she was vetted that made the story kind of explode. If we had known more about her for a longer period of time, like we have Joe Biden, and it didn't all come at once, I don't know that she would have made a much more compelling story than he did, especially if you consider the story of his first wife and his daughter that were killed, and the fact that he took the train home every day to his family. Mm-hmm. You know, his story is very compelling as well. We just know it.
Yeah. But of course his story, he was picked over Hillary Clinton. So the failure to pick the woman seems a little significant, doesn't it?
I don't think that affects the working class roots or persona of either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't see the Eagleton scenario developing around Biden, do you?
The Eagleton scenario revolving around Biden? I think it was a danger for Palin, but I kind of don't think so anymore. I think she has so attracted to the base, has raised so much money, and was so compelling for them last night. She's going anywhere, but you think Biden may be joining?
Yes, I'm just making a little joke, turning it around. There's all this talk about, oh, she must step down, and one of the bloggers, I forget which one it was, had a poll on when Sarah Palin would step down. The New York Times published an op-ed about the Eagleton scenario. And,
yes,
and
I think the Los Angeles Times did as well. They were saying
it was
going to have to step down. But, you know, that $10 million that she liberated from the pockets of the fundamentalists argued strongly that that was never going to happen even before she spoke.
Yeah, but it's how I'm really – it's odd to me that so many people got, they were trying to destroy her. They're trying to make it seem like she was just a completely absurd choice and that there was no vetting and that this was just some kind of crazy disaster and a heartbeat away. And
I don't
she was
think
completely
she was appropriately
unqualified.
Vetted. I don't think people knew, I don't think the McCain campaign knew a lot about her. I know that a lot of the Oppo research shops didn't. They've been, you know, one of the interesting things to happen was the distributive research project that went out across the internet. Into all her records and backgrounds, unearthing all kinds of things that I don't think were previously known about her. And in large part, the people whose job it is to do these things kind of sat back and watched and collected information. But no, and the places they went to, the sources they went to in Alaska said, no, nobody's come here, nobody's asked these questions before. So I think that the vetting was at best incomplete. Is she going to be able to overcome it? We'll see.
Well, I mean, it seems to me whatever little things there may be that they didn't know, and I think they did know all of these things, he still made the right choice. And what we've seen over the past week shows he made
the
right
choice. But I think that ongoing, she's got some personal scandals that tie her very much to the things of the Bush administration that people don't want to see anymore. She's got, you know, abuse of power issues. She's trying to, you know, quash the investigation into Troopergate right now.
Troopergate is such small potatoes. No one is going to pay attention. She has a record of fighting corruption. I think she seems strong on that issue, not like someone who's going to abuse power. I mean, even accepting at face value the assertion that Bush abused power. What I'm more concerned about with abuse of power is this thing that came out today with Biden saying that they might pursue a criminal prosecution of not just people in the Bush administration, but Bush himself.
Thank
to me, that's
goodness.
Just disastrous.
Shouldn't there be some accountability for people who commit crimes, who use their office to commit crimes? If he didn't commit a crime, then he shouldn't be afraid.
So do you think that Obama, if he's elected president, ought to pursue the possibility of bringing criminal prosecutions against Bush and Cheney and some of those others, that that would be a good use of the presidency for Barack Obama. Is that,
not only do I think it's a good idea, I think if he doesn't, people like me are going to be standing there with torches and pitchforks, because if we don't root it out this time, it will only happen again. That's what happens
so
every
you
time. There has
you
to be accountability if they committed crimes. I believe there is very strong evidence
so
that I did.
Do you
and
think
that is the responsibility of government in order is to police the abuse of power to make sure it doesn't happen again. Yes.
Well, why
are
you? So you think criminal prosecution is the only proper approach? That
as
if
opposed
it's
to
a crime,
what, wagging your finger and telling him to go sit in a corner? Yes.
No,
if
as opposed to moving
and they
on and doing
spied on Americans, if they circumvented the law, if they deceived the nation into going into war, costing trillions of dollars and thousands of lives, yes. And if they broke
I think
the
it's
law
a
doing
political
it, they ought
dispute,
to be held liable. Huh?
I think it's a political dispute, basically. There may be things that could be characterized as crimes, and you could piss away the next administration, dogging the old administration that's already been thrown out. I think that would be an extremely foolish and stupid and negative way to use the presidency. And if I thought that was what Barack Obama would do, that issue alone, that's the one issue that would force me to vote for McCain. And I'm definitely undecided.
Do you believe in the rule of law as a lawyer, Anne?
Yes, but I don't believe in prosecuting everything, and I think elections exist for a reason. And once you've thrown the bums out, or the people you think are the bums out, move in, do something else, do something good with
what
the power
that you
have.
What kind of a precedent
just
does it allow it to set if someone gets into office and is allowed to get off scot-free for committing crimes? What does that say to the person who follows them and the people who follow them?
So you, as a good liberal, think that every crime should be prosecuted? You
I'm
think that
saying,
everything that's
what kind
technically
of
a
precedent
a crime,
does it set if we tell a president that you will never be prosecuted for any crime that you commit? The Constitution has remedies in it for presidents who commit crimes. That's why they're there. We're not supposed to look the other way and say anything you do is okay.
Per
the Constitution,
I'm glad
am I right? I mean,
this.
I figure you're probably a bigger expert in this than I am.
I teach constitutional law, and I do consider myself something of an expert on law. And one thing that, as an expert, I think, is that you don't prosecute everyone to the hilt. You don't go after everything. You don't look for everything that's a crime, and that elections serve an important purpose, and that the office of the presidency is useful for many things, and the highest priority should not be criminally prosecuting your political opponents after you've thrown them out.
You think that would be the only reason Barack Obama would be doing what he is empowered by the Constitution to do?
It's purely
political, and that the Bush administration did
no. I don't think it would be purely political, but I think it would be I think it would be unwise. I think it would be a bad use of the discretion that you have when you have executive power. And I think it would show very poor judgment. It would be a very bad thing to do to the country. If I thought that's what he would do with his power, I would oppose him for that reason alone. I think it's a terrible idea. But I'm interested that you want to really go down on record so firmly on that point. I think people should know I want to hear it from Obama. I know Biden said it, but he kind of said it off the cuff, and he sometimes blurts out things that he really shouldn't have said. So I really want to know. That's one of the most important issues to me, because I think it would be a disaster.
I don't think Barack Obama probably wants to use his political capital to do that, but I think it is the responsibility of all concerned citizens to make sure that whoever takes that office knows that they will be held accountable for the actions that they take when they're in office, and that if they break the law, if they enable torture, if they lie to the American people, if they steal, and if they cause the deaths of thousands of innocent people in that process by breaking the law and abusing their power, that they will be held accountable. I think that's what it means to be an American. I think that's what it means to be a responsible citizen. I think that's what the Founding Fathers meant when they drafted the Constitution, and I am quite shocked that you would think that it would be a political ploy used against one's enemies in order to exercise the responsibility placed on us as American citizens.
Well, I did. I don't think that a new administration should come in and look to be prosecuting the people that have
What could a president do, Anne, that would cause you to think that they should be prosecuted for a crime?
Commit murder? I don't know. But I
there are
4,000
people lying dead because we relied into war. That is murder.
I don't think Bill Clinton should have gone to prison for committing perjury, but he did commit a crime.
I agree.
Right? I mean, if you want to prosecute all crimes to the hilt, then you should.
I never said I wanted to prosecute all crimes to the hilt. You put those words in my mouth. I said what I think that what the Bush administration has done is worthy of prosecution, and I do.
Well, that's an issue that I think voters should look to. I think that, I don't think Barack Obama really wants to be judged on that issue. I don't think that would be a very good one.
I never said Barack Obama agreed with me. I said I agreed with me. And that I
but
think
you said you
people...
would be out there with pitchforks and torches or something like that.
I said I will be out there
that way.
And my readers will be out there with pitchforks and torches, making sure that there is adequate pressure on the president, on the Congress, to look at the crimes of the Bush administration and make sure that this never happens again.
Well, I don't know what all the this is in your view. I mean, President Bush was elected twice. He made executive judgments on a lot of things that I know you disagree with, such as whether to go to war, how to conduct the war, and so forth.
He lied.
But those are the kinds of decisions
that... He distorted information, and he lied to the public. If it is found out to be true that he did lie to the public and dragged
we'll
us into a war based on false pretenses,
for all the
don't you think that that needs to be looked at? Don't you think it's the responsibility of American citizens to
well,
root out
from
the
saying,
truth of the situation?
Don't shift from saying put him in prison to just saying looked at. I do think things should be looked at. But I think if you think that a politician who lies, you say, or who shapes the truth, if you think all of those people belong in prison, we'll have to build a big federal penitentiary and put them all in there.
You're putting words in my mouth. I did not say any politician who lies deserves to be put in prison. I said George Bush, if it turns out that he lied the American public into war that resulted in the deaths of thousands of people, deserves to be criminally prosecuted. That specifically is what I think.
You think if there's a crime misstating the basis for going to war, you think that's a crime?
Misstating
that a
the basis
should be
for
put
going
in prison?
To war? I'm saying we need to look and see if he lied and distorted the facts and lied us into war. You nor I can say that with right at I think that needs to be investigated. And if it turns out to be true, then yes, I
think it's fine to look
into
that. And I think we've been looking into that for years, but I just don't see portraying that as a crime that he should be prosecuted for. That's absurd. It's a political dispute. Politicians do
no.
Lie,
if you lie a country into war, and there are 4,000 American soldiers lying dead because you lied, that is a criminal act.
No, it's not. We're not gonna. Let's move on to another topic. I think we've nailed that one down. But it's not a crime to make a judgment about a war, even to misportray some
facts.
To
claim there are weapons of mass destruction in order to convince the country to go to war when you know that there are none is not a crime.
It's not a crime, no. It may be a bad decision. It's a political problem. You can be very hostile to the president because of that. You can take political actions against him because of that. But the idea that that is a crime and he should be put in prison for it is a very bad direction to go in. And it is not what has been the American way. And I just think that it's typifies some very unstable sorts of countries that you wouldn't want to emulate. If you really think about what that would be like and what it would be like when the next administration came in, if you take a big picture of how behaving like that would go. But it isn't going to happen.
The president, when you are not held accountable, you can go and say anything you want to the American people. You can tell any lie you want. You can drag them into the war that results in all of these deaths. And
the
you
accountability.
Have absolutely no repercussions.
No,
you can, and you can keep people from investigating it so that they can't.
The accountability is that he faces the next election. He could be impeached. Why didn't the Democrats impeach him?
You thought this was a very bad idea. What are you talking about?
That there are political checks on the presidency. You use those things. The idea of waiting until he's out of office, getting the executive power, and using that executive power to criminally prosecute him, that's not the way to do it. That's a terrible idea.
Well, number one, huh? Yeah, I supported impeaching him, and I'm very disappointed in my party that they did not impeach him.
And they didn't have the political will to do much of anything with that.
They did not. Any more than I think Barack Obama is going to want to do anything to criminally prosecute him once he gets in office. I'm saying that I think that they should have impeached him now. I think that they should prosecute him later. I think that he should be held accountable for what he did. And I think there are a lot of people who agree with me. And that's why Republicans are so unpopular right now,
but
because they have enabled this president in his law-breaking for years.
Not enough to have carried out the impeachment or to have cut off the funding to the war. I mean, the people, the majority of the people really do want the war to end in a victory. And not to pull out and have a defeat. And I mean,
no, the majority of the people want it out of Iraq. That's what they want. And this whole notion of victory or winning and losing is not popular with the country right now. Nobody's saying, let's stay there and win. They want out. They know that this is going nowhere. That's where the public thinks.
I think the majority of the public wants to see it ended well and victoriously, and
most
I
of the people country knows
Barack
that
Barack Obama is certainly not saying anything other than that these days. But it sounds like you're quite hostile to President Bush.
and I think the majority of the people in the country, we feel like we have been misled, deceived, and the country is in a mess right now. The Democrats are no profiles in courage, but they would not be doing as well as they are right now if the Republicans weren't doing so poorly.
Let me just try to make this go in a sort of a productive direction. Do you think Obama is going to win? At this point, if you had to really predict it, I'd like to hear your sort of level of confidence that Obama is going to win and how you think this is going to play out.
I think he stands a better than average chance of winning. I'd probably put the odds at 60-40 right now. A lot of it is going to depend on whether Sarah Palin can join with John McCain to draw a lot of independents into their fold. She's certainly solidified the base and energized that, which is something they needed to do with this convention. But there's a large chunk of the electorate that they have got to win over. I think the battleground states are going to be the battleground states. And I think that you're going to see Joe Biden out in Pennsylvania and Ohio slapping a lot of union people on the back. And I think you're going to see Sarah Palin, you know, going around and trying to convince women that they should be voting for her and John McCain.
And her husband's a union member. She was a union member. I think she'll play really well and get out huger crowds.
I think her husband's union said, don't use us. Today, the leader of his particular union, but yes, I don't think that's going to work. That playing for the union vote may not work out so well.
Did you see that her speech last night got almost as many viewers as Obama's speech last week?
I did. She did very well. She's very charismatic. There's no question about it. Yeah. I think she'll be a big asset to the ticket. What about you? What do you think the odds are?
I made a bet with somebody. I think McCain is going to win. But,
you do?
I think it's pretty
possible.
Close. I think it depends. I'd like to see, I really want to see how Obama does in a debate with McCain. I think when the two are side by side, and also Palin against Biden, I think the debates are going to matter a lot, and I want to see that. Did you watch the Saddleback Forum a few
weeks
ago?
No, I didn't.
Well, nowadays you can't say I didn't see it because you can still go see it, but I think that Obama did really poorly at that, and that when you put McCain and Obama side by side, I'm afraid Obama isn't going to be as impressive as he was when he was doing the rallies where he was surrounded by people who loved him. I think that when he's challenged, he's not going to be as ready to deal with it as obviously McCain is, who loves these town hall meetings and things like that.
Well, I think that it is definitely Obama's race to lose. I think that Obama against McCain does have the advantage because John McCain is used to being in these town halls where he kind of just says yes to everything.
Yeah.
I don't think his command of the facts is particularly good. I think that letting Sarah Palin upstage him is a really bad idea because as long as the focus is on McCain and his desire for, you know, sort of international interventionist, you know, war as a solution to everything, is not going to play well with the American public. But I think that she could be a game changer, and it's important to keep the focus on the fact that he is the one that's running for president.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's been any other time when the vice president has been able to upstage the president candidate as much as she seems like she's going to, and what that will seem like to people.
It's odd. I can't think of any time in my lifetime anyway when that's happened.
I can't think of one. I mean, normally the idea is you pick someone who kind of fits with you, and you have this idea of not doing any harm, which is, I think, what Obama did with Biden. He picked someone he felt comfortable with. I kind of think that he may see Biden as a father figure, that he was inspired by some things that Biden said long ago about how someone who brings rhetoric to the table, who doesn't have a lot of particularity about policy, but is able to inspire people, you know, the way Reagan did or the way Kennedy did long ago, that's really what the Democrats need. There's some old quotes of Biden saying that right before he went down to defeat in 88. And I kind of see Obama as kind of the fulfillment of that idea that Biden had long ago, and that the two of them have an affinity.
They do have a really good chemistry. When they stood together for the first time, when I saw them together for the first time, I thought, you know, they really, I think that Obama did make the wise decision in choosing someone that he was very much at ease with, because I think that works well. Rather than making sort of a calculated decision of, you know, picking Strickland because he wanted to have help in Ohio or whatever. I think that worked for him. And I think that McCain and Palin seem to have a good chemistry, despite the fact that they barely know each other. They're sort of interesting together. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, what do you think Hillary is going to do in all of this? You mentioned Rush Limbaugh. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh today, and he was speculating. He always thinks that Hillary is actually trying to sabotage Obama and wants Obama to lose for various reasons. And he was reanalyzing it today about whether the entry of Sarah Palin, the other woman, would change her strategy and whether she would switch to not wanting to sabotage Obama. But that's Rush Limbaugh. I was just interested.
Yeah, I give that about the same amount of credence as I do the people who say Sarah Palin's a bad mother for
question is, what do you think Hillary
I think it's coming from the same source, which is the people who take the narrative down to the level of gossip. I don't think that that's
so. True. So you don't have any opinion of what you think Hillary Clinton is really trying to achieve at this point. You think she's just a non-issue.
I think that she and Bill Clinton both have a lot at stake in being leaders within the party, and you know that for her to try and sabotage Obama or kind of hurt his effort to get the presidency is going to sacrifice any ability that she would have to ever run for office again. So I don't take that seriously. I think that there's a pragmatic level at play that keeps that from happening.
But you weren't at the – you were at the Democratic convention. Right?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
So what did you think of Hillary, and did you think she was failing to help him enough?
My impression was that when I heard both Hillary and Bill – that what they were being were party leaders. And, you know, it wasn't so much loyalty to Obama as this is what you do when you're a party leader. You stand up. And they were very much stepping into that role when they took the stage.
But Bill
and
did
I thought
it
that they were
so
very,
much
I very compelling because that's very important to them.
Bill did it so much better than she did.
Bill is one of the best public speakers of our life.
He's great.
He's going to do it better than
anybody ever does. When I saw him, I voted for him twice. And I really felt like, wow, if he could run again, he would win again, don't you think? But I felt like she didn't even really have her heart in trying to help Obama at all.
I thought she did, but I actually, who was it? It was somebody who had been very, very anti-Bill Clinton, and don't ask me who it was. It may have been Baratunde Thurston, who said that they knew how Hillary felt, taking him back time and time again, that he had hated Bill Clinton, but he was willing to take him back again because he did such a great job with that speech.
Oh, so it's
that
like
that's sort of America's relationship to Bill is the same one.
The
that
old
she
domestic
has.
Abuse scenario.
Exactly. But he did a great job. You know, you can't fault him. He really just did an amazing job of kind of unifying the party, and to the point that the Democratic convention in the end was so unified and sort of so warm, despite people's attempts to try and turn it into the Puma Festival that didn't exist, that, you know, it lacked a little bit of drama compared to what Sarah Palin was ever able to do last night at the Republican convention.
Now, we're getting close to the hour, but I was just going to ask you one more question. about blogging. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing over on Fire Dog Lake for the rest of the campaign, and we were saying before we started the film that the traffic. I don't know about your blog. I don't check your statistics, but the traffic on my blog has just more than tripled since Friday, on all of the days since Friday, just over the Sarah Palin stuff. And the comments, you know, they're posts with just like 500 or 600 people, and multiple posts will get hundreds of people commenting, and the mania over Sarah Palin is just unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, as strangely as a very partisan, you know, liberal site, we got much more of a traffic spike over Sarah Palin than we saw during the Democratic convention. In fact, mm-hmm. we're having some technical problems because our traffic is so high right now, our servers can't mm-hmm. handle it. We've opened up a site called the Campaign Silo, strictly to discuss campaign stuff. And we got hit so hard that it's taken down our site 3 or 4 times in the past 4 days. So we spent, right before I got on the Blogging Heads with you, I was on the phone trying to upgrade our servers and do everything we can to kind of, you know, put Band-Aids and tape and glue.
Well, that's one reason I like staying on Blogger, because I don't have my own servers, and I just, you know, there'll always be room out there
That is a wonderful reason to stay on Blogger. We would love to be able to do it. We're developing a lot of very specific software to be able to mm-hmm. let people write their own diaries on WordPress. Mm-hmm. So you're
kind of making a whole social site out of it, and you want everyone to just stay within your site.
We have a lot of sites associated with us, and we just want a place for anybody to be able to blog if they want to. But, you know, it's a challenge, and it's especially a challenge right now because traffic is so high. I mean, it's a problem. It's a quality problem, as they say. But yeah, uh-huh. people are just swarming to the blogs, which is great.
And what is the, on my blog, people just love Sarah Palin and they hate all the attacks on her. And it's just, and then there are also some outsider, not the usual commenters, but some new commenters. Many of them are on the other side. And then for some reason, even though I'm not that conservative, and I'm not for either candidate, and I have taken a vow of cruel neutrality, I still get, for some reason, more right-wing kind of commenters. So the comments section is kind of dominated by conservatives. And then when liberals come in and start making a discussion, it all, you know, just all hell has broken loose with them arguing back and forth. So the regulars sort of think that the new people don't belong there and they want them to leave. But I want more comments. So I'm happy to have them talking, going back and forth, as long as they don't make threats of violence
I like to stir it up in my comments section too. We tend to have more people who kind of toe the liberal line because that tends to be.
So do you have just like a big liberal echo chamber in the comments? I apologize, I didn't go over and read a whole lot of your comments, but I mean, what with all of this new influx of traffic over Sarah Palin, what is the kind of discussion you're getting in the comments?
We get some people supporting her. We get a lot of people bringing up stuff that I argue against, you know, the personal mm-hmm. stuff, because that's what people like to talk about. I'm not mm-hmm. crazy. I'm not posting about that kind of stuff, but people are certainly talking about it in the comment sections and making all kinds mm-hmm. of speculation. It's a gossip festival. Her recent nomination and the sort of drama surrounding her personal life, mm-hmm. and, you know, invite that kind of speculation in both the right and the left, I think.
And do you find they're saying sort of sexist things? Just
yes,
in
I have some people
her?
Saying sexist things. I absolutely have.
Yeah. Now, do you delete stuff like that, or you just let them go do whatever they want?
It depends. If they go over the line and they're offensive, we take it out. We don't let people be anti-Semitic. We don't let people say racist things, and we don't let people say ugly, you know, super ugly, threatening things as well. We take those out.
Yeah.
We have really good moderators.
Now, do you find that people come in and say racist things? Because I virtually never get racist comments. I mean,
very rarely. But
ever had to delete anything because it was racist. I've deleted a few things just because they were threats of violence, you know. I don't think they were serious, but I don't like to see that in the comments.
We get thousands and thousands of comments. You're going to get people saying almost everything, but very little relative to the volume that we have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the commenters.
Love the commenters, and I like it when they stir it up in the comments section.
Yeah,
I get bored when everybody agrees, so I'm kind of happy.
And it's sort of
this.
Like an applause-o-meter, you know, the number of comments. I mean, the site meter and the number of comments, there's some of the fun of blogging is just seeing that stuff mount up.
Well, and it's also the feedback loop.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
how traditional journalists, enjoy what they do as much as we do because they put something out there and then nobody says anything about it. You know, you want to press that publish button. You want to hear what people have to say about it. You want people to say, no, this is wrong or this is right or I agree, bring back links. I mean, that's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is pretty fun.
Yeah, so it is pretty fun.
Are you going to live blog tonight?
Am I going to live blog tonight? I'm certainly going to go down on the floor of the convention and see.
Are you going to go mingle in person?
To feel what the vibe is and see how different it was from yesterday.
They said that they reconfigured the stage to give it more of a town hall atmosphere.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they did do something. So what do you think McCain can do tonight to, you know, get his the limelight back on him and off of and at least to equal Sarah Palin in some way?
If I was going to advise John McCain, I would probably be saying that he needs to talk about economic messaging, that he's been kind of light on that the whole focus on national security.
One of the stupidest things he said was when he said he didn't know much about economics.
Yeah, that he needs to kind of compensate
for that.
He shouldn't say that. So that would be what I would be telling him to do. But as someone who hopes Barack Obama wins, I think he should go out there and bang the drum.
So you want to give him bad advice. So I guess you'll be happy if he does bad tonight, and maybe he will, maybe he won't.
We'll see.
We've hit the 1 hour, so.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, it was fun to talk to you.
Okay.
I'm jealous that you're there in the flesh, mingling with the conventioners. So
I was this close to Karl Rove yesterday, and Eric Erickson of Red State was fumbling with his camera as I was trying to stand next to him so I could get my picture taken with him, and he scurried off down the hall before Eric could get it together. So I'm going to try and get another one tonight.
Good luck.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Anne.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.